Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, you can build your own perfect clothes with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for more new-to-you styles. I am so thankful to Armoire because I was in a genuine pickle last weekend. I was rushing to New Jersey, shout out NJ, the Garden State, not hunting for new housewives, but going to a friend's baby shower, and I had literally nothing to wear. So thank goodness for Armoire. I opened my bag from Armoire, grabbed this beautiful, bright lime green Sachin and Bobby midi dress, and it fit like a glove, and it saved me all of that extra stress. There are so many benefits to Armoire. You always have something new to wear without the hassle and closet clutter. It's sustainable. You no longer have to feel bad about only wearing an outfit once, and Armoire is women-founded and women-led. Right now, AGs can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/andyscrolls. That is armoire.style, armoire.style/andyscrolls to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today. If you fuck with me, you just might never happy ending again.
Summer may be over, but I'm still falling for Bravo.
I love it. I'm into it. I'm in a real like zesty, peppy, autumnal mood. You know, I usually record in a robe and no makeup, just fresh from the shower, just living my best life. I put on makeup today. Mm-hmm. I'm in a dress, tits out, ready to start a new season, even though it's not technically.
I think we still have 10 days or something like that. Not that I'm counting, but I'm like, I think we have, I think it's like the 21st or 2nd.
I'm so over it.
I know.
We need to be done. Well, we are almost done.
It's almost, you're like giving Meg Ryan fall is Thank exactly what
I am
what
giving
is.
Meg Ryan fall in a dress I got 70% off.
Oh, yes.
And an old cardigan that I just love. And I literally put it on today and I was like, this feels right. Mm-hmm. This feels right.
Yeah, it's important.
It is important. Yeah. I was one of those people during COVID, you know how everybody was like, I'm still getting up and putting on my whatever and starting my day, even though I'm stuck inside. I was like, I'm never. No, thank you. And I know that's great for mental health, but I'm like, no, this, I'm going to lean in to taking work calls with video off because the only thing that's bringing me joy is wearing sweats. Yeah. That's the only thing.
Yes, 1000%.
It's just about finding that happy medium. And you know what, you guys, it's Andy's Girls, a place where happy mediums are not always found. I'm so excited to have back a return guest. You know him as an actor and entertainment writer, contributor at Parade magazine, someone who I know has some thoughts. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to hear. Welcome back to AG, Jared Alexander. Jared, how are we?
I am good. Yeah, like you were saying, I'm like really vibing with this back to school energy. Like I feel like in the city, it's always nice post Labor Day, whether the weather changes or not. It's like the tourism dies down, although we just had Fashion Week, but like the summer tourism dies down. It feels like everybody is back, you know, like restaurants are packed in a certain way in the evenings, but it's like not as busy in transit. I know this is like getting into the like minutiae of New York, but like there's just a settled feeling, you know, it just feels like, okay, we're back. We're all like pounding the pavement again. The summer was exhausting. I'm exhausted. You know what I mean? I feel like I'm just waking up again from the brat summer of it all.
100%. Although, did you see that she just posted something about Brat Autumn or something?
It never ends.
Just give me a second, because green isn't really my color. So you just need to give me a moment, okay? Lime green energy or chartreuse.
I was going to say, because we can transition to emerald. I feel like that'll kind of work for the fall, you know? But the lime green thing is really, it's still hard to pull off.
I mean, I do have some lime green vintage 60s ensemble directly behind me on display each and every day here in the office. But it's just energetically, it's a shock to the system. Mm-hmm. Speaking of Fashion Week, which I never know is happening until I see it's happening on Instagram stories that people are at events and I'm on the couch watching Bravo.
Yeah.
But I was running an errand in Soho and I was like, did I just step into a fucking immersive experience because everybody looked like literally Fashion Week, capital F, capital W, totally. Like making their videos because everybody is a goddamn influencer and God bless them for it. But like, I truly was like, oh, everyone has looks on. Like I saw models and I just felt like, oh, now I'm in the Sex and the City, New York City. Thank God I missed it. I like seeing it now and again.
It's a good feeling. And again, it's a different feeling than like, and again, obviously we love tourism. It's great, but it's different than like in the summer, if you're downtown and like, you'll see like influencers about and it's kind of like a random thing. Like, I feel like the Fashion Week of it all, it's fun. You know what I mean? And it's like, you get to see all these people just like expressing themselves and it's great. And also like, I feel like it was really fun this year to like really see our new Roni girls kind of step into the forefront there. Like from social media, they were all over and like, it was like fun to be like, oh, like obviously Jenna's already been in that world, but it's fun to see like a Jessel or an Aaron or a Brynn just like hanging out at these, you know, like front row at these shows. And I think it's just cool, you know.
Yeah,
the housewives come in if they're tri-state, like those Jersey women are coming, they're going that tunnel, they are coming to a New York event. So it's been kind of cool to see them all about social media.
Also the energy, just the costuming of being a, well, I guess it's kind of different because some of the Jersey housewives do lean into like New Jersey, the history of New Jersey housewives fashion. And then some of them do like a little Kardashian moment versus the New York City, the current New York City, the new New York City cast, where it's very much like fashionista, like elevated.
1,000%.
And they're still playing into the New York City of Sex and the City of it all, where it's like we're having bigger moments versus I think OG New York. Which, yeah, it was at the forefront of Housewives in general, so they weren't maybe playing it up as much as a costume, but it felt more like Ramona's dressing like this because Ramona usually dresses like this. Versus 1,000%. New York, where we really feel like there's a little bit of a fashion performance at play.
For sure. I think it's just interesting in general if we look at just like the state of media with both Ronies and like zoom out, it's kind of like the new one leaning into lifestyle is on trend with like any reality show or any reality series. Like you look at like the Selling Sunset or whatever, like there's a, the lifestyle of it all is a big aspect that I think we all take in way more now, whether on TikTok or, you know, on these shows. So it's nice to see them lean into that. I still want drama, though, and I still want, like, you know, like authenticity. But I do think that, like, that seems to be, like, a very clear directive that I've seen the network move toward. If you look at Dubai, it's the same way. Even maybe, like, Salt Lake City is the last to not have that, but even still, there is an emphasis of the way they live there, like even like with like a Lisa or a Meredith Marks per se, like there is a balance of like there's an aspirational quality, I would say, that I think is a through line that is threaded way more now through all the shows than it ever was, you know.
And speaking of new energy, so I just recorded a Patreon episode out now. I watched the Potomac trailer, I did a live reaction, watched it 2 times, and just really was like, what's happening here? And so I was really fascinated by a return to, I think, a different, maybe Potomac classic energy. Maybe we'll just pretend last season didn't happen.
Right.
Curious for your thoughts. Did it deliver in the way that you potentially hoped it was?
Yeah.
What was your expectation? And
I think it did. I think with Potomac, first off, I think it's exactly what the audience wanted in a way. I feel like they're was a clear directive that like this is not working anymore, and the way in which this cast is operating, there are like too many fractured relationships that were just kind of circling the drain. And I think there was a lot of energy with Robin for a while, you know, and like people feeling like what's even happening there anymore. I happen to be a bit of, and it's funny, even when I was watching the trailer, I'm a bit of a Robin apologist in that I don't need to agree with all my housewives to like want them on the show, and I feel like she's like a steady presence. So what I will say is that I think the trailer is really solid. It does feel like a group in transition. Like it was hard for me to grasp, but we had for 8 years the same group basically. Like the only people who really ever left were Katie, Monique eventually, Charisse was always still around. So like Candace leaving and Robin is huge. Like it just felt, so it does feel in transition, but I think it's exactly what the show needed. And I think that like mini shakeup, I'm really interested to see, like even just seeing like Giselle and Wendy interact in that way is so refreshing. Is it for the sake of like them both saving their jobs? Probably, but like it's not something we haven't seen before on other shows. And I think I'm cautiously optimistic, but I do think that those women genuinely love making good TV, especially compared to other shows. And I think they just were really stuck in this never-ending loop the past 2 years. I'm going to really miss Candace, but it's giving... It to me, it's giving Kenya Moore's first exit. It really feels like it's going to be one or two seasons and she'll be back. Like, she's going to be gone, have a baby, and come back. That's my prediction, but I just think she's so intertwined in that show and also the network. Like, I just don't see her not coming back. I don't. What do you think?
I could see her doing a girls trip in the meantime, or mm-hmm. whatever the fuck is going to be the girls trip until they decide whether or not girls trip will actually ever be back. Like Love Cabin or Love Island or mm-hmm. Love,
right, we have
Love
that.
Castle, whatever the fuck it is, yeah. Love Hotel, mm-hmm. Which is the girls trip without calling it girls trip, but like have a different theme, but still it's girls on a trip. I definitely think that I could see Candace returning in some way. I don't know what, and I assume it would be Potomac, but it might be a different vehicle altogether, right. Like who even knows. Mm-hmm. The Giselle Dr. Wendy of it all, obviously these women want to keep their jobs, and right. I want them to keep their jobs,
yeah,
but to go from like the very real and distressing I fucking hate you with every fiber of my being, I don't want you to exist, to like, yeah, I want to fuck her, like it was such a 180 that, right. I was like, the thing, it's not fair to kind of be like, but can this be a little bit real? Because I actually, if given the option between these women hating each other, mm-hmm. and just feeling bad while watching, to a little bit of like bubblegum,
yeah,
I'm okay with the pop. Like, totally. I'm okay with a little bit of the, but it's just kind of funny because I think, you know, the show is like pushing forward these women needing to interact. I think they both completely understand that their jobs absolutely were and potentially mm-hmm. are on the line if they can't fucking film together, like BCC Franklin Lakes. There's just something about it where it's like, isn't it incredible that right. now we're super close? And I'm just like, okay, this is a lot. But also, I would rather see these women have fun. And even if it starts in a place of being somewhat manufactured, somewhat, if they can get to a point where they're genuinely liking each other, great.
Right.
I'm into it.
1,000%. I think also with these trailers too, it's always hard because it's not in sequence. So we don't know if like half of those scenes were like at the end.
Great point.
They film this, they shockingly, compared to other shows, I mean, they picked up right after that crazy reunion for the most part. So it's been a minute too. So we don't know how it's going to all play out. But I think the strategy that I found really interesting in removing Robin and Candace, whether or not, I mean, Robin has been super transparent, and that's one thing I'll always give Housewives when they
being
leave.
Being okay and, with her and husband be, not loving her and fucking everyone.
Bro, not transparent about that.
Transparent about being a fucking idiot. I'm sorry. No, please. No. Transparent about the fact that she's not going to ask, no, don't ask, don't tell, when your husband is literally fucking someone in a hotel. No, he's just very charitable. Shut the fuck up. Transparent about what?
Transparent about getting fired is what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, but what do you think? Robin, what do you think? Robin's going to be like, no, I wanted to lease that empty office space and make no income, so I'm leaving on my own accord. To a certain extent, it's the Teddy Accord. It's the, like, yeah, we're grateful, yeah, you told us you were fired, but you weren't quitting on your own.
Right, but I think that, like, most housewives don't say that. Most true. Are always very like, true. I'm taking a step back, very or I'm like, or whatever, and I, as much as Teddy can be, she was kind of one of the first people to really break the mold to just be like, they aren't asking me back. And I feel mm-hmm. like Robin did do that. She was not transparent about anything else. I'm just talking about getting fired. But with that, and who knows what the Candace situation, exactly how that played out. But in taking those two players out, that leaves Giselle, who, whether you love her or hate her, is a heavy hitter on that show.
She is.
Without her buddy, you're like, that's like huge for her. Mm-hmm. And Wendy without Candace, it's really hard. Like, Wendy, I think, has not really successfully established true genuine relationships on that show outside of Candace, maybe Karen, but then by the looks of the trailer, maybe not. So I think that, like, of course that forces them to be like, okay, what are we doing here? And I think it's going to be really interesting to see how it all happens. I think, yeah, it's got to be tricky. I do think that Wendy sometimes, even like a year ago or 2 years ago, it was like she, after like the whole Mia altercation, there was like 6 or 7 episodes later, she was like, Mia's hot. I was like, what? Like, I do feel like Wendy does sometimes go with, I think, what she thinks her perception will be.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that has been at the crux of a lot of her issues with the other women. So I think it'll be interesting to see now that, like, all of their perception is on the line, you know, like, how they're going to move forward as a group. And this is a show that I used to always praise and be like, it's like OG Roni. Like, they just kind of move along. Like, they'll say horrible, awful things, but, like, Karen Giselle are Karen Giselle. Like, no matter what, they're going to just, like, circle back around each other. They're one of the best frenemies, I think, across cities. And it used to always kind of be that way. And then I think season five, as much as, like, a watershed moment that was in the pandemic, I mean, that was, like, the season that made Potomac.
Which one was that? Monique. I always forget
it's
that.
It's Monique and Candace.
Okay. Was that Wine?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like the
big never remember numbers. I never remember
no,
numbers.
No, you're fine. You're okay. Fine. I'm crazy. I'm literally like
No, I'm
five.
Into it. I'm into it.
But yeah, that changed the show in so many ways, for better and for worse, you know? And I feel like it, like, really just created these like really intense factions in the show. So I'm excited to see them kind of come together, and whether it's for the sake of them just keeping their jobs or not, who cares at this point? I don't think we're in the place to lose franchises as solid as Potomac used to be, especially in how some other shows are right now.
Yeah, and there's something to be said about someone who, I think, you know, Giselle, have been a big fan of hers for a long time. I really think she lost the plot a couple seasons ago, and she has been frustrating to watch. And I felt like there was just this presumption that she would not only coast but always be the star, so she doesn't have to play well with others. And there was something in watching that trailer where I was like, oh, this is nice, where it feels like she's part of the ensemble, because I haven't seen that to me personally in a minute. And I really think she's so funny, she's so quick, and she's really stepped out of significant bounds and lines, I think. And to see her kind of return to the center, return to the fold, I'm happy. Because if she's going to be there, and I really do think Giselle is one of the great casting decisions, really, really up there. She's an all-time great, and it has been really distressing to me because I feel like she's really, truly lost her way. Or rather, I think she just became incredibly unlikable.
Yeah.
And so to see her back, I'm like, yeah, let's do it. Like, if you and Wendy both want to be here and you realize that that is more important than hating the other person, we could all take that lesson now and again.
1,000%. And I think there's always been, I think, what feels like a bit of a disconnect in the later years with Giselle, whereas there is such a very clear investment in her as talent at the network level.
Huge.
Whether Bravo's chat room, she's always doing ads. She's about to do this show.
Love
the
Hotel.
Love Island Hotel, Ultimate Girls.
Plaza, right. Four Seasons.
And she is great talent, but then also I feel like the past couple years, from the fans' perspective, there's been so much frustration around her. And there's an aspect to her that I always attributed as a strength that I think then became a weakness, and I'm excited to hopefully to see it level out. One thing I've always appreciated about her is that I feel like, I'm trying to think of another housewife like this, and I always rack my brain, and I really can't truly think of one. She is talent at that show. She's a housewife who I truly believe goes to bed at night and does not read or care what anyone says about her, for better or worse. Like, she's not engaged online in a way that most talent are, in terms of, like, getting the week. Like, I love Candace to death, for example. She's a really engaged online, famously, with her tweets and stuff.
Right.
Like, Giselle, I think the perception I get is that she shows up and is like, what do you need for me today? Okay, cool. We're going to make a show. Great. And then it's like, you can say I don't dress well. I don't. Like, I think she genuinely does not care. And I think that it used to be a really healthy strength for her, because I can't imagine constantly being bombarded with, like, everyone's opinions about yourself. You'd lose yourself along the way. And we've seen that happen with so many people. So I think in a way she's always been able to stay true to herself. But then where it really changed was that there was just this, like, crazy lack of empathy, it felt like, on that show overall. And not that her, like, the people opposing her weren't also doing questionable things. It's not that, like, Giselle wasn't making points in the reasons why she didn't care for certain people. It just was, like, the lack of empathy of even, like, a broaching conversation or, like, connecting on any level that just doesn't work on a show like this. You can't just be like, nope, I'm not gonna, nope, 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 until you can't nope anymore, you know? So
yeah, that's a great point.
I'm really interested to see how this goes. And again, I think we talked about this last time. I just think in a ecosystem right now where it's, like, really hard to keep these polarizing people, like, and these housewives who I think are really great and don't necessarily care about being likable. We have few and fewer of those, you know what I mean? Like with the Kenya of it all that just happened. So I do think that like if we can get to a place where we can keep these like heavy hitter talent, like I don't know how much longer we have OGs anymore in that way. You know, I just think I think the ecosystem is so different now. And I think sometimes we can bring people back, but that's not always a foolproof thing.
Yeah. And also what happens if the cast members find a way to move forward for whatever reason? The most important thing is that they're moving forward, but their fan factions refuse to. Like what happens if and when Dr. Wendy and Giselle are able to move forward, but maybe Dr. Wendy's online camp, Giselle's online camp, refuse to. Like that's, I hope that because Potomac can be extraordinarily heated online.
Yeah.
I don't put it as bad as New Jersey, for example. Yeah,
but it's close.
But it's close. And New Jersey hopefully is untouchable in that way because it's just so fucking bleak. So I just kind of wonder, will the audience be able to kind of keep things moving, maybe get over some of this?
Yeah, I hope so. I tend to find that you really are only as good as your last episode or last season. And we'll probably get into that with OC. But I do find that general audiences' memories are really short. Like you kind of really remember what's in front of you, or you're like really perceiving what's in front of you. So I do think it'll be an uphill battle, but I think you'll get there for sure. There were so many seasons where you never would have thought that, like Candace and Karen, like now there's this perception that, oh my God, like they're so close or whatever, but like there was like a huge two chunks of them, literally, like Karen was like, or Candace said that like Karen tried to get her fired. Like they were like, there was such a huge rift and they moved past that. And I think if you ask a lot of people, they'd be like, oh my God, Candace and Karen, they've always been perfect. And they really have not. So I think it should be good. It's what needed to happen for sure. And I also, this is going to be a prediction, and maybe we can circle back when the show is on.
Please.
I think what is going to be really interesting, and we'll talk about this in OC, with Karen's DUI situation, I think had Robin been there, Giselle's approach may have been different with her, is my prediction.
Go on.
Because I think that, like, Giselle is a type of housewife who is maybe like a Rena, maybe like someone who's like, she's a mention it all type of person, let's say. And I think that if you're looking at like who you have on your side or like alliances, if we're looking at housewives that way, like without Robin there, like Giselle has a relationship with Karen. And I feel like her approach is going to be gentler than it would have been. If Robin had been there, then it would have been a bit messier. I think that's where Ashley Darby's going to come in, is my prediction.
Oh, do you?
And you kind of see that a little bit in the trailer where she's like, well, you also could have like killed someone else, right, or whatever. So like, I think that I don't see, and maybe I could be wrong, I don't see the pros in Giselle after the season that she had and the place that she has with that Robin there coming in guns blazing about Karen and the DUI. There's just like no pro to that. So I do feel like it did kind of switch up the board a bit. Because I think if Robin had been there, there's not that Giselle even needs Robin. I really don't feel that way. But I think that like that's just some extra support you'd have, you know?
Yeah.
That's my prediction. Who knows? It might be totally different, but.
No, that's a really, really interesting point. And I feel like the thing that Potomac has going for it that doesn't exist on a lot of franchises is this like sort of old school LVP and Kyle energy. Maybe not the perfect comparison, but what we have with Giselle and Karen, two women, and again, LVP and Kyle became close through the show. Giselle and Karen were kind of like frenemies prior to the show, but they ran in similar circles. And with Jack and Jill and everything.
Yeah.
And I just feel like it's so important to have two people who are OGs, who have a history with each other, who prior to the show, who get each other, where they might fuck with each other for 8 hours, but you know there's still a mutual respect. Mm-hmm. You cannot buy that on other franchises. And I almost wish we could, because it could help some of them. It's like a mutual respect and admiration, and also like, we're okay. We're comfortable with each other. We feel safe enough with each other that we can go at each other.
Correct.
We can really go deep. We can yell, whatever else. But we know that there's enough mutual respect that I can actually cross that line.
Right.
You know, like, and that can, there's a little bit of like a rubber band effect with that too. But like, it works. And it's, I think it's unbelievably rare, especially at this point, especially going into season 9, which feels crazy. Literally nuts because I feel like it's 6. So like, how are we at 9 already? Because we're both obviously 23.
Yeah,
so like, time flies in strange and fascinating ways. Science, am I right? and also apparently allegedly math. It's just there's something about that that just feels so comforting. Mm. And I want to see Potomac where we can like really laugh, where God forbid we look forward to a reunion and not just surviving it. And I think we're gonna get it. I think it's a little artificial. It gave me a little, but that's okay. If we need to do a rebuilding season, we should be so lucky to have a rebuilding season where it feels like it's going to be fun.
Correct. Especially with, I mean, listen, I think I want to say maybe it's season 3 Potomac reunion. One of my favorite moments ever. It's when like Giselle and Karen are at each other's throats. Karen breaks down about the passing of her father at the time, and Giselle gets up and runs to her side. Like, that is like so that if I were to encapsulate Potomac in a moment, it really feels like it would be that. Mm-hmm. And Karen and Giselle have gotten to some really dark places, but they've always been able to come back to each other as mothers, as daughters, as women who have just known each other for so long and are just, there's a respect there that it's really hard to buy. And I feel like that is like such a fascinating relationship. And I think that you're right. I think that we've had rebuilding seasons, some better than others. Like if you look at OC, last season was a better step, and maybe like the Noella season, like it was better than it had been before, but then it got better and better. I think out of any cast on Bravo, seriously, women who could really handle the like turning of the tides this way are those women. And especially Ashley, Karen, Giselle. Like, they are going to show up, come to play, and it feels, because that show was such a little engine that could for so long, like they really were not getting their flowers until, again, when 5 aired during 2020, so many people had the time to binge it. And that was when, I don't know if you remember, they had like announced premiere dates and they had to push them back when there was like a huge production delay. So I think like Potomac was going to come in like May of 2020 and Beverly Hills in like April. And then as like we found out that like COVID was going to like not be over on Easter, they like wound up pushing dates back. And I feel like that gave people time, like people binged it and caught up, and it was a landmark season, as dark as it got. It's like, that is just such a wild season of Housewives, but it like, there's a protection over that show. There's like an ownership over that show that I feel like those women have, that the other long running shows now, there aren't as, like, I'm sure Kyle feels that way about Beverly Hills, but everyone else is like, has been a player and they love that show, but like they're a part of the machine. Whereas like, it really feels like, I mean, we had 4 OGs for 8 years. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. You know, like in Salt Lake City, I imagine it's probably going to be similar. I think that is a similar thing. Like, those women have an ownership over that show that the other women just can't understand.
Much like Jennifer Aydin on her last appearance on Watch What Happens Live. And I do mean last. When it comes to summer, I need to keep hydrated. And that's why I love Fiji water. Jen's thirst might not ever be quenched, but with Fiji water, mine always is. Fiji water is Earth's finest water. Unlike the other 2 top premium bottled water brands, Fiji water's electrolytes are 100% naturally occurring. Fiji water has more than double the electrolytes as the other 2 top premium bottled water brands, giving it its signature soft, smooth taste. And that's why Fiji water is the number 1 premium imported bottled water brand in the U.S. And P.S., Fiji water has a perfectly balanced 7.7 pH. Get stocked up on Fiji water this summer and visit your local retailer to pick up some today. Alexis Bellino, imagine how much better her season could have gone if she had just simply quenched that thirst. And my recommendation? It's not just water, it's Fiji water. There are so many fall rituals I'm so excited to get back into, like seeing which $50,000 ring Lisa Barlow is going to lose next. And of course, there's one ritual that deserves to be added back to your fall priorities in addition to Salt Lake: daily hydration and energy from Liquid IV. Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier and Energy delivers 100 milligrams of natural caffeine plus 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, so you can accomplish all the things you want and need to do, minus getting Monica back to the cast. I focus every day on making sure I have enough electrolytes. When I wake up and before I go to sleep at night, I am making sure that my electrolytes are on the up and up so that I can stay there too. And also at the end of the night, when I'm looking for a little SGKK, I add Liquid IV to seltzer and I have a little bit of a seltzer spritz. For me, faster hydration is not just about workouts. It's about ensuring that my quality of life is good. It's an all-in-one formula that provides mind and body energy plus hydration that leaves you feeling focused, alert, and ready to take on anything. Tear, pour, live more. One stick and 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. Powered by Live Hydroscience, an optimized ratio of electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients that turn ordinary water into extraordinary hydration. That's three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink. With 8 essential vitamins and nutrients. It's always non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, and soy-free. Start a new fall ritual with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code Andy at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code Andy at liquidiv.com. You know whose skin I envy? My dear best friend, J-Lo's. I have been a J-Lo superfan since day one. Every docuseries, every movie, I am all in. And I have had the pleasure of meeting Jennifer Lopez. And let me tell you what, she is a glow. And now I'm thinking about The Wedding Planner. So Chris Manzo, we have a movie we need to rent. And yes, we need to talk about J-Lo's beauty regimen, the goddess of glow herself. She's just shared her secret 5 S's to ageless skin: serum, sunscreen, supplements, sleep, and sano. In Spanish, vivir sano means live a healthy, sane life. It's the foundation of her new J-Lo beauty line. P.S. Did I pronounce Spanish better or worse than Vicky Gumbelson at Ondelez? Get that J-Lo glow for yourself with J-Lo Beauty's Deluxe Kit, the one-and-done skincare solution clinically proven to tighten and lift for instant, long-lasting results. It gives your skin a smoother, visibly brighter look, improves the appearance of fine lines and wrinkles, and protects against UVAs and UVBs. My personal favorite is that blockbuster hydrating cream. I am obsessed with a cream that does not make my skin feel oily, which is why I'm obsessed with J-Lo's. I get that kind of dewy glow. So if you're tired of trying to crack your own skincare code, try J-Lo Beauty for 60 days. If you're not completely satisfied, just return the bottles, even if empty, and get your money back. Want that J-Lo glow? Head to jlobeauty.com/andyscrolls and get a special gift of 4 free masks for AGs. Head to jlobeauty.com/andyscrolls for 4 free masks and free shipping today. jlobeauty.com/andyscrolls. Also, no disrespect, which means I'm absolutely about to disrespect, but I feel like Beverly Hills in New York City, they exist, they sparkle, but they're franchise specific. I have, I know when I go into Beverly Hills, there's going to be she, diamonds and rosé, and also personalities. But I think it's location first. I think it's environment first, then personality. Same with New York. Although you can have a different kind of conversation. We're talking about those goddamn OGs who we need to respect every day for the rest of our lives. But then I think about Potomac and Salt Lake City, and I'm like, sure, do I have an understanding of the landscape here in either of these places? Yes, but that's fucking personality driven, number one. So that means you can't really fall back on the environment if you're fucking it up with the cast. So like, that's to have right, so to have them go back and like center on themselves, we need these women to goddamn bloom, because like, apologies to cherry blossom season, but I don't give a fuck. Salt Lake City, you guys snow a lot, and I love that journey for you, but it's about the personalities first.
I mean, if you, if it was going to be like environment forward, I mean, DC would have been a much bigger hit than Potomac
100%.
Ever was. 100%. You know, but like, you just, it's like essentially the same exact location for the most part. And it worked because it was like this specific group and this specific community and this specific type of lifestyle that like, there was, just like Salt Lake City, there was nothing like it before. in terms of that talent. I think with Beverly Hills or New York, you're so right. And OG New York kind of different, but especially with Beverly Hills, there was nothing like it in terms of lifestyle that we had ever seen in Housewives yet. And we have gotten amazing archetypes from Beverly Hills. Like Lisa Vanderpump, that is like an archetype that is just like, you 100%. Know, like there's no Meredith Marks without Lisa, even just with like, I don't know, blazers, you know? but I think that you're so right with that. Like there's something about that talent that's like, and again, I'm feeling so like protective over the good ones that we have and the ones that like, again, like we don't have to agree with everything that they do, but like we've seen what happens on these shows when, and again, Atlanta, we'll see what's going to happen, but it just feels like it doesn't, we can't just like, it's not as simple as just being like, they've got to go, they've got to stay, they've got to, it's like, it really is a bigger picture. And there are like such strong players and like people who are like really, I think just so, you just think of them now as part of the brand, like a Karen Huger. You know what I mean? Like, how do you not, like, that's Karen Huger, you know?
I don't know a single person who doesn't enjoy, at least enjoy Karen Huger. Mm-hmm. I really don't. I don't know a single person.
And it was such a steady, I mean, I think like in the early seasons too, I mean, there were some like, oh, okay. Like, it was more like, I feel like there was an, people were more laughing at Karen, I would say, maybe the first two or three seasons.
Agree.
And there was like kind of a shift because there's just like this endearing quality to her that then turned into, it's like you, it's like a Luann type of thing, maybe, let's say, of like the like countess of it all. There's like, there's, you want to indulge in the fantasy of the grand dame in a way. And then you have like someone like a Giselle who is like a love to hate type of person, you know what I mean? Who like is like so messy and crazy, but like any plot that's happened on that show, her hands are on it. And like, that's not a thing that happens. I mean, we've seen, and we've talked about this all the time, but like, and I have hopes for this next season, but like, you don't have houses like that in New York. And sometimes you kind of wish you'd have someone who just would like be messy for mess's sake. It seems like in the trailer it might be Brynn, but we'll see. But like, I feel like that show used to strike the perfect balance of like just enough drama, just enough, I mean, talk about humor. That is a show that it, at its best, was one of the funniest. I'm talking like almost reaching Atlanta levels in a way of funny. Like Karen in her like CVS shoes in the lobby. Like, come on. Like, there's just like so many moments. Or like Ashley calling Karen the like a broke Tina Knowles or something. Like, there was just like, and Candace, like, there's just like a, also like an intelligence. And like, they're all such like wordsmiths that's like so, I didn't expect this to be like a love letter to Potomac, but now I'm like really getting nostalgic about it. Like, I'm like, it was, it got so bad there, but like when it was good, it was so, like, there's nothing like that. Like that exact recipe. So I'm happy that they are pushing forward. They look amazing. Also, did you see that, like that new intro they got in the trailer? I was like, how does this work? How come like our poor Salt Lake City girls are still in the same intro in that trailer from the premiere in 2020?
I mean, New Jersey, they just changed the color of the dress in, like, Photoshop. Like, they don't even, we're not even pretending
it's
a different
pose.
Marge
was in pigtails for, like, I think 4 or 5 years before they finally changed it. And Teresa's dress looks like,
oh, no, what?
My friend Tyler and I say this all the time. It's kind of giving, like, Princess Winifred and Once Upon a Mattress a little bit. Like, it's, like, or maybe more like a Lady Larkin type of thing. But, like, did you notice it's, like, this, like, it's like this like black dress and it's just like beaded thing up top. It just looks very costumey.
Yeah.
You know? And well, I just feel like, but then also like, yeah, I wonder how that works. I imagine it's like a production company thing because like Beverly Hills, we're getting new intros all the time.
Well, remember Atlanta had to pay for their own, which is so embarrassing for the network. Like if these women have to put up money to do your fucking job, like, and we're already having a conversation of, are these women underpaid? And they don't even get a fucking marketing campaign. They have to foot the bill. It's embarrassing for the network. I would be embarrassed. I would. That was like very like Evil Witch, but like crone energy. Yeah. Okay. Cause like I would be fucking embarrassed.
Yes. And that was what, Atlanta's like third reboot. Like, I'm like, we're on like the seventh iteration of like, hopefully this one sticks. But you're right. And it's like, and it's so, I mean, we've seen, like, I know we're like, they, new Roan, and that makes sense. Like, to launch a new show, like, it feels like there's so much money all over that New York, the new New York. It's like new promos, new this, new that. They're like all over the place. But then, like, sometimes I'm like, maybe it's because the other shows are so steady, they don't feel like, Jersey ratings wise, it's always one of the highest. So like maybe they're just like, whatever, like we don't need to mess with money. You know? But at the same time, it's like, no, we should invest in them though, because like they deserve it. And like they're giving us good content. Even this last season. I was thinking about this at the gym yesterday. I was just like in my brain, thinking about Housewives all the time. I was like, all things considered, it was a pretty good season of Housewives. Like
this most recent season?
Yes, I actually think so. Like
how did I pick? I don't even remember what I thought.
Every episode, I just feel like in, like we were just talking about, compared to Potomac, which was a cast that wouldn't work, this cast, as much as they did at work, like every episode had something big. We had like the screenshot of it all, Margaret sending the flowers. Like we just had like the Jackie of it all, even like the Jen and Danielle of it all. Like it was more entertaining than I think most shows in the same place, specifically Atlanta, specifically Potomac, in a place where it's like, oh, this cast just doesn't work anymore. There's no way to move forward. It's last Roni 13. You know what I mean? Like places where like we've gotten to like the end of a life of a show. I feel like it was pretty watchable TV.
Considering that we don't have to have the pressure of how do these people work together again, because we know that they won't.
Correct.
That relieves pressure off totally. Of the audience, because we don't need to sure force this to work. Mm-hmm. Well, no, they should have felt more pressure. They didn't want to, and I...
Some.
Well, more than not. Yeah, that's an interesting point. And I'm, you know... I don't know how I feel about, and we will get into Orange County.
Yeah, I know.
This is going to be a 19-part episode. It's going to happen.
It's okay.
I don't know how I feel, if I'm going to be perfectly honest, because now please. You're talking about like funny franchises and history, and it's just making me, maybe it's just the seasons changing in all the ways, but it does make me feel a little bit of melancholy that, you know, we're going to get another season of New York, because obviously we are, mm-hmm. and there's just a feeling of like, you know, maybe this is just what happens when life goes on, is like sometimes people come out for a reason, they're a season or a lifetime or whatever the fuck. I just, you know, there's just a feeling of like, oh man, New York was like my franchise, mm-hmm. and it's not anymore. Like, cause yeah. This is not the same show, and it couldn't be the same show. It's a different show with different people, with a different environment or vibe. But I hope that I see more like naturally charismatic funny, but maybe these aren't funny people, and that's okay. But I am a funny person who lives in New York, and there's something about living in a place where the franchise exists, where I'm like walking by Regency and I'm like going to these places, mm-hmm. and it's an LOL. I don't get that energy from New York, nor could I. We're only on their second, but also like 15th season or whatever the fuck. So like, it just makes me feel just a little bit of a feeling of like, I miss.
Yes.
I wonder, looking back, do you think that they made the right move to reboot New York, mm-hmm. and not continue legacy in some way? Aside from Girls Trip,
but
like figure out a way not to kind of continue it so that there could be two existing shows.
That's such a good question. I wish the legacy thing panned out. And I don't know if I'm like, I'm a pretty optimistic person. I'm pretty much like a glass half full person, but I do think that the intention was there. Like, I don't believe that it was like some fans are like, they were never going to do it anyway. I'm like, I don't think so. You don't announce a plan like that without intentions of actually doing it. From like a business perspective, as like a huge media company.
You mean the
Roni legacy as it was supposed to be.
Right.
You know, like that's, and it was a great idea at the time. It was kind of the best of both worlds. I think in some ways, the talent got in their own way from reports and stuff in that. But it is a bummer that iteration, they're such good. Again, like we were talking about talent that's irreplaceable. Mm-hmm. They're irreplaceable. Like, and I do wish that we could have lived on with them there. But again, like we were talking about, I think like the ecosystem is kind of different with some of the talent, some of OG Roni. I'm talking about Ramona, you know, so I think where we are in media legally, especially like also as like Bravo deals with different lawsuits and as like the relationship to talent is like ever changing, I think it started to feel, which makes me so sad, it started to feel like that iteration of Roni was more of a headache than worth their investment.
Had to be.
Right. And
they weren't wrong.
Right. They weren't wrong at all.
I'm saying.
And she's not even like an OG.
I'm saying.
Right.
I'm saying.
And that's not even talking about like the whole reason, the whole 13 behind the scenes stuff. Like there's just so many things about it that just like wasn't working. It does make me sad though, because I feel like the legacy really could have been something that like not even just quelled the fans, but like would have been great for us so that we can still check in with these people and then also have this new Roni. I do feel like from their perspective, I'm sure they're like, look, like Dorinda's about to be on Traitors. Like, I feel like it does make me happy that, but years ago, pre-pandemic, honestly, but before the first Ultimate Girls Trip, if you were let go or if you left a Housewives show or Bravo show, we never saw you again outside of Instagram. Like, there was no, like, there was maybe, like, Bethany coming back was huge, monumental, because it was, like, kind of one of the first times. Like, Nene kind of went to Hollywood and came back, but she was always kind of there. But, like, now there is a place for you, whether it's Traitors, whether it's also there's all these other spinoffs on other networks, but also there's, like, they are, it's speaks to the longevity of the franchise, that there's way more opportunity for you to, like, still be in that ecosystem and kind of come back around. Look at Taylor, look at Alexis, look at, like, people, Heather Dubrow, for example, like, people who just are able to, Tamara, people who are able to just come back, like, and I think that it does make me a little happy, though, that, like, someone like a Luann, someone like a Dorinda, even a Sonia a bit, are, like, able to still make some money, frankly, and also kind of still be around. I wish it was more an iteration of Roni that we love. But yeah, I think to answer your question, I feel like it's the legal stuff that's more of a headache, but it sucks because, like, the only people who suffer are us.
I also wonder with Sonia.
Oh, yeah. Well, we talked about.
When we think about capacity.
Right.
I wish, I yearn for a future that just might not be possible, not necessarily just because of budgetary reasons and everything else, but, like, is Sonia able to exist in a Housewives universe? We were at the 15th anniversary, Watch What Happens taping. Yeah. It was difficult at points to see her. Jeff Lewis has gone in great detail on Jeff Lewis Live about his experiences during that episode. And I just kind of wonder, it's easy. It's sad, but, like, easy to, like, take a seat back and be like, oh, I wish that we could have continued the show in some way. But, like, can these people?
Correct. I think that has been my big takeaway, too. Again, we were both there. I think what's always interesting is when you realize, like, we know them, I'm using air quotes, these people know them and work with them and, like, see them, like, not in an edited version, a truncated version, like, working with them 24/7. And I do think that, I mean, if you think about it, in the Roni talent that we would still have on now, there are a handful that I think still have, and it's not an age thing either. I think it's just, like, being on TV for 15 years is a really long time. You know what I mean? Like, Kerry Washington was on Scandal for 15 years. Like, there's, like, so, like, to be on TV for that long is huge, you know? And sometimes, like, a different capacity is much better than, like, actually being on TV for that long. And I don't think they had enough, frankly, for a show like that. Especially if you're going to decide to split it. You know what I mean? Maybe they could have moved forward with, like, a hybrid reboot type of thing. But they kind of tried that. And I don't think that would have worked for that cast. I think the tell that's going to be really interesting is and we can make predictions. I don't know. We're definitely not going to know before the end of the year. I don't see that being the path to Jersey. But, like, I don't see a hard reboot there. I think that, like, there were way more pros for them to do that in a city like New York, first of all. That's definitely can be environment forward in that way. I can't imagine a Jersey. And maybe. It's just not. It is the environment. But also, It's just different. I feel like there's so many different facets of New York, and a clear directive from a lot of people were like, this, like, we love Roni, but it's, like, one specific New York out of, like, you know, the greatest, most diverse city in the world or whatever. And I feel like that's what they were going for. Like, there was, like, a clear way they could path forward. So it was the right decision. I feel like with Jersey, especially now, it's not worth that risk. I don't see, like, a brand new Jersey being great. I imagine it's going to be some sort of mix.
I also kind of wonder, and I swear to God, we will shift to Orange County in just one second. I swear to fucking God. But I don't know why I'm thinking about Sonia and Leah right now. And again, Seasons changing, leaves are falling or whatever. But, you know, Leah's argument legally and from a PR perspective and otherwise is like, this show made me worse. I am sicker as a result of the show. And I think putting that argument aside, I just think of someone like Sonia, who had already done the bad business deal, the John Travolta of it all before she was on the show, who was sinking so fucking far down. And I just think, is the ending, not ending, but is the Sonia we're looking at now, is that all both inevitable and also better than who she would have? She might just be returning to her truer self, which is like kind of depressing, but also could the maybe the show helped her and also helped put a little bit of a pause on some of these things until it became too hard to keep them apart. You know, it's
absolutely,
that's like a little, it's not to like bring down the room, but like there is something to be said, not, and it doesn't take away from understandable grievances that people might have and like the greater conversation. But also I just think with some of these personalities, often the conversation is like, what has the show done to this person, which should absolutely exist, but also what has the show done for this person?
Correct.
And when they end up in a certain place, often the show is the reason, right, for a person's maybe downward spiral or whatever else, or just like little moment of a gray area of trying to figure out next steps, which is completely understandable. I was this on this show making bajillions of dollars. Now I'm not. Where do I see myself next? And like, not the show was just a purgatory from figuring that out, but also a lifesaver at points. Yes.
Or like an extended stop along the way to whatever the result would have been. Yeah. I think even like sociologically, I think about this all the time, and like it sounds kind of corny, but like I think a big draw to Housewives for me since I started watching is that it's like really hard to, especially from an entertainment perspective, think of a platform where a lot of times a woman of a certain age, of that age, is able to like have new life in that way. And I know it comes with a lot. I know that you sacrifice a lot. But on the other side, you like really get to see women, arguably a lot of times in the middle of their life, like transform or like start new business ventures, or like I'm trying to think of like a Margaret Joseph, for example, who was perfectly successful before, but like now, like your life is totally changed from that. You're able to grow from that. And I think like a lot of the women, you can tell, treat it as such. Like I think Dolores says all the time, which is so great, like I think she was on Jeff Lewis earlier this year and doing interviews, and she's like, I always treat this like this could go away tomorrow.
Yeah,
and
it would be an amazing thing. She always says that. She's so grateful.
Yes. And I feel like that is a really beautiful perspective to have, because you can't, again, you're only as good as your last episode, sometimes your last confessional. Like, you know what I mean? Like the audience can be so fickle. So it's like, I don't know, to just, there's something so fascinating about that to me, and genuinely exciting. I think for so long, obviously, culturally, like women are tossed, especially in media, especially in entertainment. Women are like, by the time you're 30, you're like, you know, you're like over or whatever.
Jesus.
Or so, like back like old Hollywood days, let's say, you know. Yeah. But
when
like,
I turn 30,
it's gonna, well, we're 23.
Downhill from there.
But like, it's so, I don't know. Like these women have more work than most actresses at their age. And I feel like that is, there's a draw to that. And there's, and people connect to that. And I it does make me sad for some of the old Roni women who like we don't get to see at that capacity. And also, frankly, I also like have to worry about myself and like continuing my career, but sometimes I do worry. I'm like, I hope they're like making a good amount of money, they can make a living, because like you see so many times like these housewives be well beyond their means way too early. Like I think, yeah, it's gonna be interesting.
There are so many moments that make up a year. The big moments and milestones, birthdays, anniversaries, when Shan came to the clawfish. And then there are the small moments, the slow morning spent making a decadent breakfast, running to a grocery store to get 9 lemons to put in a bowl. All of these moments come together to create our year, and in the end, create our life. Artifact Uprising wants to help you preserve your meaningful moments this holiday season. Whether you want to say, I love you with the perfect gift, display favorite memories in your home, or connect with loved ones throughout the year, BCC Shan, they have a product you can personalize. Artifact Uprising is a Colorado-based company that creates premium quality, customizable photo goods for your digital photos. I just ordered a few photo books with Artifact Uprising, a hardcover travel photo book in this gorge shade of Pacific blue, which is perfect for the credenza in my living room, devoted to my first ever trip to Paris, and a photo book in midnight blue, one for myself and for my family. Moments from my childhood, my parents spending time together, it is going to be the perfect gift for Tobes and Chard. This is something incredibly special that will keep us connected. Artifact Uprising makes it easy to tell your story. Through the end of the year, AGs can give Artifact Uprising a try and get 20% off for new customers or 15% off if you've purchased before. Just visit artifactuprising.com and use code AndysGirls through December 31. My life right now is so busy. I mean, have you been watching Orange County this season? If I was a Shan stan before, imagine what my day is like now. It does not leave a lot of time to, God forbid, make a meal from scratch. That's why I am so thankful for Cook Unity. Cook Unity helps with a variety of restaurant quality food from award-winning chefs delivered to your door straight to the clofus. All at a fraction of the cost and time you're spending now. Indian food brings me so much joy. It's one of my favorite things to eat. So thank goodness for Cook Unity because I was able to enjoy chana masala thanks to Chef Lena. My favorite legume, as many of you know, is a beloved chickpea. So there is no better dish. Indian spices, chickpeas, sauteed cabbage and kale, coconut basmati rice, and even a vegan yogurt with fresh herbs. There's no cleanup or meal planning. Browse the menu by protein, chef, cuisine, or dietary need. You're sure to find food you'll love. Take a load off and let Cook Unity handle dinner. Affordable food crafted by award-winning chefs delivered to your door. Go to cookunity.com/AndysGirls or enter code AndysGirls before checkout for 50% off your first week. That's 50% off your first week by using code AndysGirls or going to cookunity.com/AndysGirls. I started taking Hormone Harmony because when it's that time of the month, I truly do not feel like myself. Starting about a week and a half before, I get the wildest cravings, bloating, exhaustion like no other, and now it's easier than ever to manage PMS and menopause because of Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony supports hormonal balance and regulation, which for me is a biggie. It relieves symptoms of menopause, supports cortisol, estrogen, and progesterone levels, and improves sleep quality. Alexis and John's engagement is keeping me up at night, so thank goodness for Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It has zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit, feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews, and there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code AndysGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code AndysGirls for 15% off today. Can I make a dream suggestion that please. I actually would argue shouldn't happen, but I remember a complaint from Jill Zarin. I remember a complaint...
I love this. It's like Odyssey Zone. We keep being like, I want to... It's her.
I remember after we went to the New York premiere party last season at the Rainbow Room. It was like extraordinary, super... I mean, talk about Diamonds and Rosé. It was fabulous. But I remember certain
Jill's errands, saying after the fact, or maybe was it Jill or Dorinda? I honestly forget, but I think Jill was a part of that conversation, like talking about a feeling of a little hurt that they weren't invited. And like, we started this show. It may have been Dorinda. I honestly forget.
Yeah.
We started the show and why weren't we invited to that? It would have been nice as a way to like extend and just mm-hmm. continue. And I get why that didn't happen, because we cannot, it's a show for the future. There's already so much consternation Correct. About why do we need a future? It's a totally different. I understand from a PR perspective, mm-hmm. strategic comms perspective, but there is a part of me that's like, wouldn't it be great if not?
If and I'm
not
saying that. No, I'm not even
saying
your heart.
I'm not saying add OGs to the new cast. I'm right. not in that wild space, even though I understand. I just mm-hmm. don't think it's. I don't think it's even a little bit realistic
because right.
it's there. It's a quote unquote new New York. It is an entirely different universe than the one we watched for. They go to different places. They like different things. They're different people. It's like totally, yes. completely. It's a New York, and it's Marvel versus the other one. What's the other one? X or
DC.
Something?
No, right, you're sure. right.
It's Marvel right. versus DC. So, but there is a part of me that's like, what's the Avengers? Is that, do they mix that in that? I don't know.
No, yeah, the Avengers is Marvel. Right. Let's like get them all together.
That's not both of them together. Marvel.
Okay, it's okay.
If we could, if there was way to do a Comic-Con, BravoCon,
yeah.
where we're like, mixing.
Well, why wasn't that a panel? Like the old and new Roni. Like that would have been so fun.
Because I think old would have eaten young.
Right.
Like it's like why mama polar bears aren't usually with
yeah,
their kids
for a couple
years. But now
I'm
remembering,
I'm like, Ramona wasn't, she got pulled from BravoCon again. So it was only just Lou and Sophia. So it wasn't going
to
happen.
I was late too because, do you remember, it was like, I think it was Married to Medicine was happening at the same time as New York.
Yeah.
So I started at Married to Medicine in a fucking empty room and I was upset Ugh. About it because
Roni was packed.
Well, but the problem was, so New York was in a smaller room than Married to Med. They did
the room
Married
on the side.
Med, huh?
The room like far to the side.
Yeah,
you know
like, yeah,
like
yeah.
all the way down. Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
So Married to Med was in a much bigger room. Pay respect, 10th anniversary, yada yada.
Hello.
Absolutely, right. but nobody was there. So it was right. Not a lot of people were there.
Yeah,
which was dispiriting. But I also was trying to get to both places to cover it, content, whatever. So I was there for got to see, you know, Daddy and all, you know, like got to pay respect
mm-hmm. to sweet tea. That,
truly, and like, you know, enjoyed it, and then skedoodled over to New York where I was trying to get into that fucking room where people yeah. were throwing down. I was in behind Avery Singer, who was trying to get into the room as well. And like,
right.
it was just one of those things where I'm like, it's just a different, it is a different, and she did get into the room and I did get into the room. So
of course.
God bless for both of us. But like, it's just a totally different universe. So I get why they can't mix. But like, wouldn't it be great if there was
amazing.
An upcoming event, if we could yes. get some OGs there? But I, again, I get why that's not happening, but it would be, I think it's something, or maybe a BravoCon panel. BravoCon's next year.
Right.
We'd love to see it.
I think we're getting, you know, Andy used to famously always say that like they would never do like an All-Stars thing until things were like petering out.
And then
out.
Look and how
then
that worked out.
So I
for
do,
better and worse.
Right.
For
and I think there is such an instinct on Bravo. They really kept their talent separate for so long. I remember there are so many episodes of New Jersey within the past like 5, 6, 7 years that I know from social media. I was like, Dorinda was there. Ramona was there. Like, mm-hmm. I just know they were there and they would just like cut around or like whatever. And now they kind of dip their toes into that. I get at that premiere party, though, why, again, from the business perspective, why it was a totally separate thing. There wasn't even other Bravo talent, period. It was just those women. Just those six women.
Which was smart.
Very smart.
And I'm just saying.
But no, but like for them, I would feel so hurt. It would feel, because it already feels like you're kind of tossed out. And it already feel, you know, like.
You would feel hurt if you were invited or if you weren't.
If I was them, if I was one of the OGs.
Because honestly, if you weren't invited and Andy's giving a speech and shit, he's not going to shout out Jill Zarin.
No.
Like, and again, love Jill Zarin.
It almost
love
makes me
Jill
wish
Zarin,
it was a
but...
different. I get it, because for the brand, it is the new show. I don't know. It almost, not that there was a different name. I do wish it was season one. It is really confusing on Peacock when it's like, oh, season 14 of Roni, and
well,
it's just brand
Jill
new
Zarin
people.
Also said.
Like that,
she said it should have been a new. It should have been season one. It shouldn't have been.
Yeah,
14.
Like season one.
But then, what do you call it? The Real Housewives of also New York.
I know.
Like what? How does
even
that?
Honestly, just make it a different title card. Make it be the same title, but then it's season one again. I know that doesn't. It doesn't work. Even just like
one
catalog wise, but right. It's just like
1B, 2B.
And we'll see. I mean, again, I think with them, this season's going to be the it's like, you know, sophomore slump or comeback of the year. You know, we're going to see what happens. And I feel like with the big tell for me was BravoCon with them, to be honest, because like the season, I think, was splashy enough. People definitely talked about the Jessel of it all. Like, there were like cultural moments, but nothing crazy. But at BravoCon, they were huge. Like, between Brynn and the escalator and the heels thing, their panel was big. Like, it felt like I didn't realize the fan demand until like seeing people in the wild interact with them. I was like, oh, people are watching this and like, and really like yeah. them and are really drawn to them. And considering it was such an uphill battle, I think, for them to just like introduce themselves. And again, as we know, a lot of that season was on the cutting room floor because Lizzie was on before and they cut all around that. So
which
I am
worked
interested.
Out perfectly.
Yeah.
They, honestly, they did it. They did it exactly right. They just restart. And but then it actually worked in our favor.
Correct.
Because then it was like, we're starting with a fight about cheese and we don't know these correct. People, but it was high energy.
It was
so like
from,
apologies to Lizzie, but that actually.
It helped.
You know what? The way that they edited around it, it was a good
reset.
It was reset.
Perfect. And it felt like
good,
it was a.
I think
everyone's
we got a
hands
better
were clean.
Season. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I'm interested to see with a full edit, maybe, what this season's going to be like, you know? And I am again, cautiously optimistic. It does feel, though, like, yeah, we're in a weird... It's a tricky time with Bravo. It's really... It's, like, at some points, still so exciting. And at some points, we do kind of have to, like, mourn the ways in which the shows used to operate, the talent that we've lost along the way. It's not. It's been a long time, you know? People can't be on these shows
forever. I need to do an in memoriam episode. I'm just saying that out loud, but I'm going to make it happen. We need to do an in memoriam episode.
I mean, can we talk about really quick? I know we're going to get to OC, I promise.
I swear to fucking God.
Dr. Nicole. We did do you read her post today?
We do need to talk about Dr. Nicole. You know what? Motherfucker, I'm going to pull that out right now. Because I thought to myself, shout out Dr. Nicole. And then I started talking about Jules, Aaron, and Dorinda.
No,
and
you're
then
good.
I go all up in a tizzy. So there had been rumors for a couple days, and we're on a couple of text threads about Dr. Nicole. Is she returning to Miami or not? And there was a video about that, like I think a fan had posted of an interaction with her, and they're like, I'm so sorry that you're not coming back. And she's like, well, it's not final.
Yeah.
So she posted on Instagram today. We're recording this Friday afternoon, but we're going to go until Saturday. So Dr. Nicole said, taking a moment to shine a light on something I've been quietly navigating in my personal life on March 26th. And shout out PS to her Bambino, because I'm a Aries, March 27th, baby. 26th, I believe, is maybe Jeff Lewis's birthday. I think Shannon's is the 25th, and mine and Vicky Gummelson's is the 27th. So that's a big week for psychopaths who are Aries. So shout out to her daughter, baby Genevieve. So back to Dr. Nicole. She says, on March 26th, again, shout out Aries, we proudly welcomed our daughter, baby Genevieve, oh, beautiful name, arriving 5 weeks ahead of schedule and spending almost 2 weeks in the NICU. After this pregnancy, I started to suffer from significant postpartum anxiety, something new that I did not experience with my previous pregnancy. It all started about a week after giving birth when I found myself having an overwhelming sense of worry and fear out of nowhere. It felt like my mind was constantly on high alert, panicked, and worrying endlessly about the health of my baby, myself, and my family. Postpartum anxiety is more common than we hear about, and it's crucial that we talk openly about it. One in five mothers experience mental health disorders during or after pregnancy, with most issues going unreported and untreated. By sharing our experiences, oh, I have chills, we can offer each other comfort and strength and remind one another that we are not alone. Oh, I'm gonna cry. This is a part of my life that I am learning to navigate, and it's been an emotional roller coaster. Given where I am right now, I have decided not to return to Real Housewives of Miami. Prioritizing my health and my family is something I need to do at this moment. It's a step towards healing and finding balance, and I hope you can understand and support this choice. Thank you for being a part of this journey. I really am actually going to cry with me, and for creating a space where I feel comfortable sharing these parts of my life. I hope that my openness can help others who might be struggling and encourage us to support one another through most of our challenging times with love, Nicole.
I know.
I read it, but I didn't read it out loud. Also, I'm on my period. So,
no,
like,
you're totally fine.
Oh, shit. Ugh,
no, it's beautiful.
Vey. What are your thoughts while I hydrate with sodium?
It's beautiful. First of all, again, she is someone who... it sounds so premature because she's had three seasons, but three knockout seasons of someone who, like, feels like the whole package is someone who is, like... I don't know. Like, she has like every quality that you would want in a housewife. There's an aspirational quality to it. She feels also like someone who could be your best friend, like
100%.
The best hang. She's a loyal person.
Amen.
I feel like I've connected personally with her on so many levels, especially with like the ways in which that show, a lot like Potomac, in a way can feel super generational between the like Gen X cast and the millennial cast. Mm-hmm. And I felt So not to get into my own abandonment daddy issues, but like the ways in which the women navigated how she should handle her now, God rest his soul, her father, and what she should do because he is her dad.
Quote
and
unquote,
her,
like, quote, yeah, unquote, quote unquote. Side unquote.
And
side
like,
eye.
Yeah. Right. And her like really being like, no, like I have my own boundaries for my reason. And like, just because all the, like, I really feel like she was also so vulnerable and gave us so much. So any cast member deserves to do whatever they need to do, but like she tenfold does. And I think this is such an honest and brave thing to do. I'm sad for us separately because I think she is, Miami is, the reboot has been such a success, but I think she, like a, maybe like a Carol, it's a cast of people you are laughing at and engaging at, and not necessarily like Nicole feels like someone who is like the proxy for the audience in a really good way. Mm. It feels like you are her, or like you're her in the situations. She has a read of everything, but you also connect with her. There's no one else in that cast like that. I'm racking my brain. And people I love. Like, I'm like an... Adriana Demora just like tickles me pink, but I'm not like, oh my God, she's me, you know, or just like, come on, you know, or Alexia, please, or like Lisa, or Marisol, yeah. Like all these people who we love. Even like a Gertie and Julia. There's like a... A like kookiness a little bit. There's like, you know what I mean? And like she, Larsa, forget it. So I feel like with Nicole not having that, I am sad for us, but also the wording in this. And I think also like a half an hour before she posted that, an exclusive went up on People, and the wording feels very for now, not forever.
100%.
And it feels very, even the way it's like, I decided not to return full time to this. Like, I'm sure maybe we'll see her face.
We might see her cameo.
And right. And hopefully then in the following season she can come. But like, how wonderful to her to be so transparent about this. And I feel like she's so one of the good ones. I mean, across the board, if you just like look at like her like Housewives portfolio, it's like check, 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 mm-hmm. check, check. And also just seems like lovely at the end of the day.
Yeah, she seems like a really good egg. And to think that the woman who sold her old house to like Jeff Bezos's parents right. is the most grounded is like, what the fuck is happening? But right. like, yeah, she literally like has a plane and whatever. And I do think she is. And I also think how incredible of her to share what she is going through with us. Sometimes I feel like the audience does not necessarily deserve that trust, but I'm mm-hmm. so appreciative for the women who have shared it with us anyway, because I think we've, you know, through Gertie's story, getting mm-hmm. diagnosed with cancer during production right. and then dealing with people asking her why cancer is bad. It's like, why are you so upset?
Knows.
How do you know? How does that work? What's a body? Like, Larsa doesn't know what a body is, understandably, after, you know, the new eras that
well,
she has.
Well, she said that she's on the she could just put people to sleep for a living. That's what she told Dr.
She's
Nicole.
She's not even a real doctor. She's just an anesthesiologist. Like, what the fuck? So it's like, when we don't really have these conversations, anything that is focused on women and, like, science around women when it comes to menopause, menstruation, anything dealing with the many, many challenges that can mm-hmm. come as a result of childbirth, it's just so... I'm just really appreciative for her. And as a woman who's constantly learning new things about women's experiences, not because of science, but because of women sharing, mm-hmm. if only it was both, there's something incredibly impactful about that. And I hope, because I hear from AGs all the time who are dealing with postpartum depression, dealing with postpartum anxiety, and they reach out with mm-hmm. like, thanks for the podcast, which has helped me. And I can't tell you how meaningful that is, but also to hear a woman share her experience. Mm-hmm. And I know that there are going to be women and parents and people reading that who will understand what she has gone through in a way that many of us might not. Mm-hmm. And I just think that is, information is power, and so is vulnerability. And I really... It's a vulnerability is a difficult thing when you try to figure out what is safe for me to share for myself, and right. for her to figure out that balance. I'm really appreciative for it. And the number one thing is like that she is feels safe and healthy and on the right path, mm-hmm. and do not sacrifice that for any reason whatsoever. And for her to really hopefully take time and just be with herself and feel strength in herself mm-hmm. and just be on a journey that she's going to navigate, that's going to yes. be navigated for her at points. I'm really appreciative for it. It was written fucking beautifully.
Yeah.
And
I mean, hello.
I bought a dress last season because she wore it to that. I'm so sad that on our thread, I found it for like, I think 60% off. She wore an ALS dress. no, ALC dress, rather, excuse me. And I think that's the name of the company. ALC was like this pleated dress that I found super on sale after short to the Mother's Day brunch, because I was like, I'm not going to look like that, but like, I would like to try.
It's cute. So,
like,
I know the exact dress.
You know what I mean? It's very fucking cute. So like, I just, you know, take out that debit card. And I just really, I really admire her. And I think you made so many good points about groundedness, because I think on Miami, like, Lord knows we need a little bit of that. Yeah, we need a little bit of that. So something to cut the mojito a little bit.
And they clearly took a huge break. They have not filmed in a long time. So, and I know they definitely were not expecting not to have Nicole. So I wonder,
well, I don't know what
if we'll
expecting.
Have new faces. Right. And I think also it does help. Nicole doesn't need the money either. Like, I think that that's also a beautiful thing too, that
thank
she
God.
Deserves, and she's earned it so that she can make these decisions.
Amen.
You think about how many cast members, how many housewives who have been like, I probably should have taken that season off because I was not in the headspace, or I was not in LVP, classic example. She says like she probably should have just like taken the season off or last season because so much happened personally.
Well, and also how many housewives have given birth and continued to film? Like,
Jacqueline, Teresa, about, right?
Jacqueline, like, Teresa, Phaedra, Post Pickle. Mm-hmm, like, there have been an untold number. Remember, she had the Pickle.
I'm thinking of other housewives too. Oh, I do remember. Yeah. Well, remember, because we didn't know when she was like, I got to get this baby out the oven.
What she was like, I've been pregnant for 3 hours, so I'm at my fourth trimester. And we were like, well, how's math working out? But then it got into a question of Kim, which we can't go down.
Megan King Edmonds, I think, too, or like she started filming right after. Like, there's like a lot of Ashley has filmed like immediately after. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like when we met Dean, she had that sip and see, and Dean was like 2 weeks old. She was like, hey, what's up, guys? Like, that's a lot.
Can you imagine the hormones going through your body, plus the adrenaline that exists when you're filming, plus the stress and anxiety of how is this going to be received, plus you're responsible for a human life and all of the gender expectations that comes with that? Like, we don't have that conversation of what happens when you are on Housewives and you are a new parent. When you're in Housewives, a new parent, you're pregnant and you're filming Housewives. Mm-hmm. I mean, there is the LOL Daddy Joe and like son of being like, I'm sorry you're pregnant, but you're just annoying. Right. Like, there for that one moment where it's a punchline, there is a lot of more in-depth conversation
beyond.
And so to get into this topic, it's happening on social. My guess is it's going to be addressed. Mm-hmm. I would think in some way on maybe Watch What Happens, mm-hmm. or potentially on the show, although that might not be possible. But I'm just really appreciative to her for that, because I think that really is, that's incredibly important, something that I'm so glad you referenced, because I was just thinking about, you know, Shannon on a loop.
On a show like Miami too, frankly, I mean, you have some shows, no matter what, they all go to the gutter in different ways. You have like Jersey is usually like a one scandal. It's like, oh, like this person cheated and the whole season is about whether or not that's true. Or you have Beverly Hills feels very similar too. It's like one thing. Miami could be a multitude of things that they are just throwing out left and right that are just like sometimes just like categorically false, and they can be hilarious and entertaining, but it could be like you slept with all the hospital. It's just, it's very it feels like they all, it's one of those shows where like they have the dirt and they like use it willing like all the time. Mm-hmm. So like City kind of feels that way similarly too, and it's super entertaining to watch, but I can't imagine putting yourself in that position after everything we just read about that. Like,
yeah, no, it's for what? It would be too much.
And especially when I think she also is someone, and I hope she knows this, I can't imagine they wouldn't have her back anytime she wanted.
Oh, I'm sure it's an open
she's
door.
She's so good
I'm
at
sure
the job.
I'm sure it's an open door.
And she seems like someone who is just lovely to work with. Again, we're never there, but I imagine.
I would guarantee it.
Right, you could
just
tell.
I would put one American dollar, if someone could loan me an American dollar, and on the bet that she is at 1,000%. Least the easiest person to work with on Miami. I would put, I bet Gertie is really easy to work with too, mm-hmm. but I mean, Dr. Nicole, come on. Come on.
She was one of my, like the BravoCon, the first one post-pandemic. She was I was most excited to meet her in the press room.
I don't know that I've ever...
I met her. I met her two or three times now.
Was it at a photo thing or is it at a...
It was in the press room. I met her the first time in New York. And then the second time, I met her. There was like a two T's like pre BravoCon party in Vegas.
Oh, and didn't I got get to that chat invite, which is so weird because I'm very close with Teddy Joe.
With Teddy Joe, of course. Mm-hmm. I've met a lot of people close. That I met Monica that night, but this was pre the finale.
May her memory be a blessing.
We
or
really
whatever.
Hit it off too, which is crazy. But she was like really lovely, but we're both Portuguese, whatever. But it was like, I talked with her for like 5 minutes. I just was like,
little did you
I
know.
I love Housewives. They kept that under wraps from everybody. I was like, it can't be. But yeah. All we knew is that it was like no one was talking to her in the cast. I was like, it can't be that bad, guys. And also, again, Salt Lake City was just perfect because like I think they underestimated. I think production knew how great of an edit Monica had. Like the people were so drawn to her that like it felt like it was like the second that finale happened, it just was crazy. But meeting Nicole, anytime I met her, she's been so. And you know that you've met a lot of Bravo talent.
Mm-hmm.
She was so present and like listening and just talking and just was like so awesome. Yeah, she'll be back. I'm not worried.
Dr. Nicole, next time you fly to New York on that plane please. That you own, please stop by the Clawfist. You're welcome here anytime. Listen, Jared, so great to have you on the pod. Just kidding.
No, I'm like...
We are going to switch over. This is going to be a two-parter because I can't even believe. And I think I said to you before we started recording, or at least I thought it, I'm starting with last night's Watch What Happens Live. Like, that's what I thought in my head because I was so fucking annoyed. I was working on a reel while Watch What Happens was airing because I was so perturbed or inspired by some of John Jansen's Mishigas. So listen, guys, we're switching on over to this two-part episode. Switch on over to part two, available now.